Good morning. There will be no love in this segment. I just want to make that absolutely clear.
It's so exciting and it's great.
Are you okay?
I was okay, and then I read some news yesterday and it just ruined everything. But of course, caused the internet to burn to the ground, world crumbled, cats and dogs lie down together, hamburgers begin eating people, and darkness reigns. But it's not news. Please keep it out of my news feed.
Yes, a very shiny new segment theme for this segment. I can't believe it's not news, with Nick Healy from Sunday Breakfast. Good morning. How are you doing? Did you like that?
I loved that. That was amazing.
So you're in here every Thursday morning around this time to pick through the 24-hour news cycle, picking out garbage labelled as news and focusing on one important story getting lost in the wash. What's been making non-news this week, Nick?
Well, look, we've seen some angry stories around Uber in the past year. And look, some have been about the taxi industry and the fact that it seems to firmly believe that it should be immutable and unchanging, perhaps entirely composed of hansom cabs trotting down cobblestone streets. We've seen customers furious at fares that were far more than they expected, despite being booked on an app that insists you confirm that you understand how much it's going to cost and what surge pricing is and the fact that you'll pay more before it even lets you book. And now we're seeing a brand new white hot rage. Uber changed its logo.
How dare they?
I know. That calm and comforting monochrome U that once stared up from your phone, curving like your nan's arms as she reached down to give you a hug as a child, is now in the world's words of social media, an underwhelming and disgusting bank logo.
Disgusting.
I don't know how you can be underwhelming and disgusting at the same time, but you know, God bless Twitter, they've discovered it. So yeah.
So what, they changed their logo and people don't like it? Is that
people
what,
are furious.
Disgusted, you know, like, even.
Disgusted and underwhelmed. you probably only needed one buzzword listicle of the 12 best overreactions to the new logo of a ride-sharing service. But we didn't. We got immense articles instead. We got huge articles, including one from news.com.au, where they actually consulted a brand expert who said that people bogged down in aesthetics over the logo were missing the point. Now, I'd say that if you're in the mainstream media and you're asking experts about the aesthetics of a logo, then you're missing the point. And the point is that it's not news.
So not only have news outlets stopped covering actual news, they started creating their own non-news.
It's amazing.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. What's the next non-news item this week?
All right. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. I was vaguely aware that this show existed, but I didn't actually know there was an Aussie version of it.
Yeah.
Until the news got wildly fired up over various bits and pieces. Now, the premise of the show, for our listeners who are unaware, remain blissfully unaware, is that people who were once moderately famous but are now mostly half-remembered as answers to trivia questions on a beer bottle top debase themselves emotionally and physically in the show, basically wringing out one last drop from the desiccated face cloth of their cultural relevancy.
Yeah, look, it's, I mean, a lot of think pieces, our favourite word here on this segment.
I do love a think piece.
About, are they actually celebrities? Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Well, not only that, but people trying to spin actual news out of it as well. Like a cavalcade of stories regarding the show, including one, do we call it a contestant, a supplicant, a vitiator? I don't know. I don't know the correct term for it. But whatever. They were angry that a promised Hollywood heartthrob guest was neither Hollywood enough nor throbbing. That had 400 words dedicated to it as a story.
Oh, my God.
Art enthusiast and former hair loss spokesperson Shane Warne was also in the news for refusing to eat spiders. And now someone called, and I apologize if I'm getting your name wrong, Lorena Fleur, is in the news for not eating a bull's eyeball covered in maggots. And now Rove McManus, arguably less palatable than the aforementioned meal, is up in arms saying that the show is mean.
Oh, mean. Good on you, Rove.
Now, look, if you need help understanding why this isn't news, then you are the correct audience for this show. Carry on.
All right. Not much to add to that. What's the final non-news piece this week?
Look, do you drink coffee, Mitch?
No.
Well, then you would not know that there is a milk war going on.
Oh, what?
When it comes to that beautiful brown sludge that adults crave. You wouldn't. Even if you are a coffee drinker, because as far as I can tell, the ABC just made it up. Yes, the ABC. Imaginatively entitled Milk Wars. It's a searing expose of the baristas who think that only non-homogenized milk will, and I'll quote, attach beautifully to their coffee, and those that think it's a pretty cool idea but don't seem to have got around to doing it yet. Like, there's actually no one saying don't do that. They're just sort of going, oh, I don't mind that idea. Haven't done it myself. Look, the only other element of interest from this soon-to-be Walkley Award winner was was that sometimes if you ask for skim milk, you might not get it. And just in case you're worried, the ABC did contact a senior nutritionist from Nutrition Australia who said that probably won't make a huge difference if you have some non-skim milk. Like, this might be a killer page 7 in Barista Times. But at best, it's a skim serving of froth, not full fat news. Keep it off the ABC.
Bean Monthly, I think, is the name of that publication. All right, well, yeah, there's three non-news items getting plenty of coverage. And roping in the experts, who don't really have much to say either.
Hilarious.
What's one important story we're not hearing about instead, Nick?
This is amazing, because the government is actually now monitoring social media accounts to hunt down welfare fraud.
Oh, what?
And in fact, they're not even doing it themselves. They're outsourcing the private contractors to conduct surveillance on private accounts of people suspected of making false welfare claims.
So they're outsourcing people to study someone's Facebook feed, for example, to see if they're spending above what they should be.
At least one case, not even spending above, posts from a Twitter account were used to prove that two people who were claiming welfare as single people were actually in a relationship.
Ooh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. This is kind of interesting because, I mean, welfare fraud is a real thing. It does exist, but
does not exist in the sheer levels that people who are not on welfare seem to believe it does.
That's true.
Arguably costs the country considerably less than corporate tax fraud. And
also
not even
true.
Arguably. I don't even know why I had it arguably. Seriously. Yeah, let's look this up, people. And now we are actually contracting third parties, which is probably my worry here, that this is not someone in the Department of Social Services or whatever it's called now, human services, it's a third party who's just getting slipped some money from an official government account and told, check out what Johnny B is doing on Twitter. Let us know if he hasn't really hurt his back.
Why can't we outsource people to look at, like, giant multinational corporations to see what they're like, their Christmas parties like or something like that?
I was going to say, if welfare got together and sort of donated to political parties, people on welfare, might be a totally different story.
There you go. Three non-news items and one kind of really scary story we should be talking about instead.
I think it's terrifying.
This is terrifying stuff. Nick Healy, you can catch him 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Thank you so much, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Catch you next time.